from the nation's capital. This is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Ladies and gentlemen, today the issue is faith-based mentoring. The fact that we have individuals in Washington, D.C. and throughout the country, they're coming out of the prison system. And the question becomes, who is there to help them? Is anybody there to help them? Sometimes it's the family, sometimes it's friends, and sometimes it's nobody at all. But what's happening in Washington, D.C. and throughout the country is that the faith-based community, the churches, the mosques, the synagogues, they're stepping up. What they're doing is they're providing volunteers to help individuals come out of the prison, come out of the prison system, and to make a successful transformation into the community. We have two guests with us today to discuss this issue. We have Natasha Freeman. She is a cluster coordinator. She is with Israel Manor Incorporated, and she is also with Israel Baptist Church in Northeast Washington, D.C. And we have LaWanna Clark. She used to be an individual under our supervision, and thank God she's out and she's doing perfectly fine. She's been through a couple programs. She was a Project Empowerment, a 13-step program, but she was a mentee for 2 years. So to talk about this whole issue of faith-based individuals, faith-based programs, people coming out of the prison system, Natasha and LaWanna, welcome to D.C. Public Safety.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I appreciate you both being here. Now, I do want to emphasize that this is in support of our yearly event that we have in Washington, D.C. It's probably our biggest event. It's on Thursday, February 21st, 2013, from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Luke Church Center, 4923 East Capitol Street in Southeast Washington, D.C., Thursday, February 21st. It'll be on our website, www.csosa.com. Gov, where we bring hundreds of people involved in the mentoring process and hundreds of people coming out of the prison system who have been mentored to involve them in a celebration of this whole concept of faith-based mentoring. Natasha Freeman, first of all, you're the cluster coordinator of one of three cluster coordinators for my organization, the Court Services and an Offender Supervision Agency. What does the faith-based community do for people coming out of the prison system in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the faith-based community does a lot of things for people on parole and probation in Washington, D.C. One of the major things that we do is we go out to different churches, synagogues, and mosques, as you mentioned earlier, and we recruit volunteer mentors to kind of help them navigate successfully through supervision. We also offer a number of special emphasis programs that help with issues like employment, relapse prevention, and parenting.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of different programs throughout the city. That's the thing that really does impress me, the fact that it's just not a church or a mosque or synagogue involved. It's just not the mentoring process involved. You all provide a lot of services. It's AA, NA, clothing, babysitting, connections to jobs, food. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's a very impressive program.
That is correct. We actually are also responsible for partnering with different organizations in the community to provide the services that the faith-based community cannot.
And one of the things is that the faith-based program here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency really is trying to do is to expand on those partnerships, expand upon those services, so people coming out of the prison system do have access to the different services they need.
Yes, that is correct, because it is critical to have services in order to make that successful transition from prison to home and successfully entering into the community.
LaWanna, it's the thing that strikes me more than anything else is that you come out of the prison system and you come into the community. Sometimes you have support. Yes. Sometimes family is there, sometimes friends are there, but a lot of cases there is no support. And in a lot of cases, it's the church, the mosque, the synagogue that surrounds you and embraces you and says, welcome back home, you can do this, we're here to help. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel great. When I first came home and I just got with my church is over in Southwest,
mm-hmm.
and I decided to join a faith-based organization, and I got with the 13-step program.
Right.
Which shows you life skills, how to do interviews,
mm-hmm.
and how to basically, give you job leads and how to get out there and you know, start working.
What religious body were you associated with out there?
Covenant Baptist Church.
Covenant Baptist. And
yes.
Covenant's got a huge reputation in Washington, D.C. So Covenant Baptist, did they approach you? Did you approach them? How did you come together?
Well, they had in the Edifest, they had some information about the 13-step program, and I signed up.
And it's just a matter of signing up and walking in?
Yes.
And how were you treated?
Very well. I was treated very well. The facilitator, he was very knowledgeable, and he had a lot of information,
mm-hmm.
and I just utilized it.
Right.
You know, I was like, well, I guess a natural leader in the program, so I was helping him, you know, to get the information out to the other people in the program. And so it's a wonderful program.
As a woman caught up in the criminal justice system, do people stereotype you as being a person caught
Absolutely.
Up in the criminal justice system?
Absolutely.
And did you get that stereotype in terms of a Covenant a Baptist Church?
No, not at all.
Okay. And why do you think that is? I mean, this is what people tell me. They get the stereotype all the time, and it really is an impediment in terms of crossing that bridge from being a tax burden to taxpayer, crossing that bridge from being caught up in the system and not caught up in the system. And that embracing aspect of the faith-based community, so many men and women have told me it's made a huge difference in their lives simply to be accepted for who you are.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, I joined Covenant in 2010, and once they found out what happened to me, my situation happened in 2009, and I was open. I told them about it, what happened, and I was open to whatever, you know, they had to offer,
mm-hmm.
and they embraced me, and so they had the 13th step, and I joined it. And anything else that was available, the resources that they had, I utilized it.
Right.
And it has been a tremendous help.
People have told me, people say a lot of people come back out of the prison system and they go back out into the community and they join a gang because they need people around them. They need people to support them. It may be dysfunctional. It may lead them back to the prison system, but they need people in their lives to support them. And as one person of the faith-based community once told me, we're a gang for good. We're an embracing gang. We're exactly the kind of gang structure you need, only we're going to help you. We're going to lead you down the right path. Am I that person's comments? Are they accurate?
The gang... If it's a good gang, yes, more than likely. I believe in the faith base, and I know that for me, I can probably speak for several other people, that's all that we need is some help.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's help there, you know, something to get us out there to do positive things. It's not necessary. Even if it's just finding a job. Yes, it's cool to find a job.
Right.
That's good to find a job. But we need programs, more programs like faith-based programs,
okay.
or, you know, just more programs out there to help us get back on our feet, to get us where we need to be, to point us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we won't go back into the prison system.
If the support is there, it lessens the likelihood considerably
Absolutely.
Of you going back. And it lessens the burden on taxpayers. It lessens the burden on the criminal justice system. And you become an example for everybody
Absolutely.
Else. Okay. So going back to you, Natasha, is this a common experience of men and women coming out of the prison system and reaching out to the churches or the mosques or the synagogues and being embraced and having that successful transformation?
Yes, I would say so. And I'd also like to commend CSOSA because what they've done here in Washington, D.C. is they've actually allowed the faith-based community to kind of band together
mm-hmm.
so that the resources are wraparound services that
right.
we can offer people in the community. So it's not just one church doing one thing and someone else doing something else
mm-hmm.
because we're networked together. We can can actually offer that push that's really needed to help someone transition back into the community. And I'd like to commend people like Luana who have come back into the community and have really, through the help of the faith base, stepped up and are now able to help other people make that transition. And we see a lot of that where people have successfully completed their supervision, and then they come back to be a part of the faith base in the capacity of a mentor or a facilitator or a helper, just to add to that network of people pushing for people to come home and stay home.
But so many people in any community, I won't say necessarily the faith community, they're saying to themselves, you know, there are so many issues that need our attention. There's the elderly, there's the unemployed, there are kids in schools. And I've heard this directly, and it may sound offensive to either one of you, and I don't mean it to be offensive, but it's like, Leonard, I don't have time for criminals. I want to help fill in the blank. School kids, I want to help the elderly, I want to help the unemployed, I don't have time for people who have done harm to other human beings. So that's a stereotype that and an issue that all of us need to deal with, correct? I mean, not everybody is cut out to be a mentor to somebody coming out of the prison system, is the point.
Right. And I agree with that. And what I would say to, you know, not every church in Washington, D.C. is involved in the faith-based program. It would be nice if we could get that much support. But the reality of it is, like you said, it's not for everyone. But what I would say is that if we don't do what we can now, the problem will only grow. And those children or the elderly people that you think need your help more than a person who's coming home on parole and probation could easily turn into that person because we're not offering the right support services and the right foundation. We're not only helping the person who's on parole or probation, we're also helping their family members who need their support. So by helping this person, we're actually really strengthening the family, hopefully helping young people not follow in the same footsteps as their parents, and then hopefully helping that person on parole and probation become a support system for their elderly parent or family member who needs them.
Well, most individuals who come out of the prison system have kids.
That is correct.
So when you're dealing with an individual coming out of the prison system, it's just not about them. It's about their kids. I mean, I think national research says that in terms of women caught up in the criminal justice system, Luana, that 7 in 10 have kids. So it's just not about that individual. It's about her family. It's about her kids. So if you can save one, you're saving 3 or 4 others.
That's correct. You are.
So, I mean, but what about that? Does everybody clearly seem to understand that?
Well, not everybody seems to understand that the women that we have, you know, that people have kids. And, like, as you said, people stereotype or what have you. But I believe that, you know, if you, you know, just like I said before, we need those programs, you know, even in the system. They are taking the programs away from the system because now you have this thing where they're building more prisons.
Right.
And it's not like it used to be where you could go in and get your education in the system and come out and be a productive citizen anymore. It's more so build the prison, we're going to lock you up, and you will stay there. Basically.
Right.
So and it doesn't matter whether you have kids or not or what have you. Your kids will grow up, and if nobody is there to nurture them and to show them the way, they will be a product of a horrible society. They'll follow in their parents' footsteps to do the wrong thing, and they'll be in that same prison.
Well, I just did a show on women offenders a little while ago, and the thing is, I don't understand how women coming out of the prison system do make it. Most have higher rates of mental health problems than men. Most have higher rates of HIV. Most have higher rates of substance abuse problems. 7 out of 10 have kids. Now, that's stacking the deck pretty considerably against that person successfully coming out and not going back to a life of crime and not going back to a life of drugs. That, I mean, those are impossible odds, it strikes me, as to overcome. So it strikes me that the faith community, if the faith community is there for that person, that dramatically increases whether or not they're going to be successful.
Well, you know, thank God for, you know, faith-based communities. Where I stay at, which brings me to my point, where I stay, I was looking around. I was actually still on probation, and my probation officer asked me to come down to, you know, to see SOSA and check out some jobs and places to stay and stuff like that.
Right.
And one of the places where I stay at, it's called N Street Village.
Right.
And that place is awesome. It is a shelter as well as a recovery housing. And there are women there that are in recovery and have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And also across the street is the night shelter, which is Luther Place night shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there for a year, mm-hmm. and now I have my own place. I'm in a
congratulations!
Yeah, I'm in a SRO, and it's wonderful. SRO is a single residency occupancy.
Okay, cool.
So I have a roommate, but you know this is what we need. This is something that helped me to get through. I don't have any kids, but I know there are ladies there that do have kids, and we help one another. And if we have programs like N Street Village, Luther Place Night Shelter, places like that,
mm-hmm.
the faith-based community. I wish there were more faith-based communities.
Yeah, so
you know,
I.
And because we can get through, not just women, men too.
And it's not the matter of programs. It's a matter of being embraced.
It's a matter
of having the respect that you feel that you need to make that transformation.
I tell you, if I was not embraced by my church and by a faith-based community, I don't think I would have made it out here.
That's one of the questions.
I would have made it.
That's one of the questions I do want to ask you. But with more than halfway through the program, I want to reintroduce our guest today. Natasha Freeman is a cluster coordinator. She is with Israel Manor Incorporated. She is with Israel Baptist Church in Northeast. And also, we have an individual who used to be under supervision, and she used to be a part of our mentoring program. That's Luana Clark, and she has been through a variety of programs. And, you know, she's now been out for 2 years and has been a mentee for 2 years. She's been part of this faith-based program for 2 years. So, again, I say congratulations. And, Luana, let me just go right back to you with that. I do want to remind everybody that this is in support of our annual citywide faith-based mentors and mentees of the year on February 21st. It will be at St. Luke Church Center, 4923 East Capitol Street, Southeast in Washington, D.C. from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening. If you need additional information, we're at www.csosa.gov. www.csosa.gov. Luana, the question again goes back to you. You mentioned if you didn't have these programs, what would happen to you? Where would you be?
I would be out in the street doing the same thing that I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be no support because mm-hmm. my family is all gone. My mom and parents are dead,
mm-hmm.
Grandmother, everybody is gone. I have two brothers. One is, you know, I have brothers. One is a part of the, he was in and out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And he did well. He would do well for a moment, and then he would go back in.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you do need that support.
Mm-hmm.
You need the support.
Virtually every woman I've ever talked to who's come out of the prison system, who's back into the community, has told me that, again, without these programs, they'd be back inside the system. Without these programs, they'd either be dead or back in the game or back doing what they were doing or back harming society, and they're not, and they're reunited with their kids and they're doing well. Not all of them by any stretch of the imagination, but a pretty significant number.
Yes, that's correct.
That's what impresses me. Natasha, now, we have well over 100 faith-based organizations here in Washington, D.C. We have well over 200 people who are mentors. I think that's just phenomenal. I think well over 700 people have been through the program, and we only started tracking these numbers back in 2007. The program started in 2002, but since 2007, when we started actually keeping track, over 700 people caught up in the criminal justice system have been through, have successfully completed completed the program. The early indications are that the longer they stay with the program, the better off they do and the less they recidivate. I mean, that shows the power of the faith community.
That's correct. And just touching on your point, the longer they stay with the program, it's about developing relationships when it comes to the mentoring program. Even beyond people completing supervision, they still keep in contact with their mentors because it's really a long-term journey. And so once we give them the programming, we give them the resources, the whole idea behind the faith-based mentoring program is to help them successfully navigate through supervision. Mm-hmm. But then once they complete supervision, we still have to make sure that they have the relationships and the support from the community in order to stay home. And that's mm-hmm. really our biggest goal, is to keep mm-hmm. them here and becoming productive, taxpaying members of society. And we can't do that without the support and the relationships developed through the faith-based community. And I think that's why the people who complete supervision through the program are a lot more successful, because those brick-and-mortar 100-year-old organizations and foundations on every other corner here in Washington, D.C.,
right.
they can always go there and say, you know what, I'm having trouble with this, or I need that. And you always have that objective person to talk to that can talk you through the situation so that you don't have to turn back to drugs or violence or whatever your vice was that got you into trouble in the first place.
Right. Mm-hmm. But coming out of the system, coming out of prison, you've got a chip on your shoulder the size of Montana. And there's a lot of individuals, and people always say that I make excuses for bad behavior when I say this. But again, you took a look a little while ago when you're talking about women offenders. The degree of sexual violence directed towards women caught up in the criminal justice system when they were minors is astounding. It is literally astounding. It's much higher than the males. But if you talk to the males, I mean, the problems that they had in terms of their households, so many of them getting up at 6 and 7 and 8 years old, pouring their own cereal, taking themselves to school, raising themselves, essentially, or, you know, 9-year-olds raising 7-year-olds, it's a very difficult problem. They end up in the prison system in many cases. They come out, and again, they have the chip on their shoulder the size of Montana. How do you break through that wall, that barrier that so many people coming out of the prison system present to you when they show up at your institution and say, okay, I'm not sure as to who you really are. I'm not sure as to what your game is. I'm not sure as to, you know, what you truly are trying to offer me, but I'm standing here. Go. Convince me. What do you say to them?
You know, one of the first things that I tell them is that, you know, we are no different. One of the biggest difference between us is that you got caught for doing something wrong, and a lot of people in the faith community just never got caught. And I think that's why there is a level of compassion for some people, mm-hmm. For those who are coming into the faith institution with those types of situations. And then the other thing is that you just have to love on the person, mm-hmm. and when it's genuine, they know. Not right away is everyone going to tell you everything. You know,
right.
They're not going to pour it all out on the table right away. But once they come around and you show them the services, you show them that it is real. Mm-hmm. If they need clothing, you take them to the clothing closet.
Right.
If they need help with food, you take them to the food pantry.
Right.
Once you start to offer them some of those services that we have, then they start to see that these people are really here for me. And one of the big differences with the faith-based being attached to CSOs is they kind of come with that kind of, oh, well, my CSO sent me thing. And then they get there and they see, okay, well, this is not like going to see my CSO. This is somebody else who kind of really cares. Not to say that the CSO doesn't care, but, you know, when you go to see your CSO, you go with that, oh, they're just going to tell me to do this and do that type
right.
of chip on your shoulder.
Right.
When you come to the faith base, you see that this person is really here trying to help you kind of be in good standing with your CSO, help you navigate through some things, solve some problems so that you don't have that chip on your shoulder.
And CSO, for people outside of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, we stand for Community Supervision Officer, what most of the country calls parole and probation agents. Luana, the person that I described coming out of the prison, again, with a chip on their shoulder the size of Montana, am I exaggerating or am I accurate?
No, you're not, because I was one of those people.
Okay.
And because even though I didn't have a long-term time in jail, I was one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I
don't
need
all... What's
your game? You know, yeah, what is your game?
What is your
game? And I don't need all of this stuff. I just...
Right.
Look, I just want to get back to work.
What's in it for you?
Exactly.
Why are you here? What are you trying to do to me? Because so many people coming out of prison just see other people as just gaming them, as just they're just there to exploit them.
Yeah, but you know, you have to be open. And so I was open because I was open. Nothing else was working. All of my cards read zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know, I have to be open to this. And in order for me to not get back in trouble,
right,
I have to do something.
Right.
And I'm too old.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
You know, so I was open.
Right.
And I had to own up to what I'd done. So that card, you know, I was owning up to my responsibility,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, the part that I played in it. And I was open to whatever services that CSOSA and the faith-based community
How long
are.
Did it take you to trust the people in the faith community to the point where you were ready to open up and talk about your real experiences?
It took a while.
How long?
It was like 6 months.
Yeah. And that's not unusual.
It takes a while,
Natasha. It's not a first day process, a second day process. It ordinarily takes months for that relationship to build to the point where the two trust each other. Correct?
That is correct, and that's why in our program we make it so that the person has a mandatory minimum of 6 months left on their supervision.
Right.
So that way we can make sure that the relationship is cultivated in such a way that they can trust, and we can really get down to the nitty gritty or what their real needs are. And kind of touch on some of the real issues that they have so that they can, again, be a successful member of society. Because if we don't touch on those issues, it's so easy for something bad to happen in your life.
Yes.
And you turn right back around and start doing the things that made you comfortable.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the beauty, and this is, I've talked to several people who have been through our faith-based program, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, the beauty is that you could be 2 years out. You could be 2 years away from the faith-based program. You're doing fine. You got a job. You're off of drugs. Everything is going okay, but suddenly everything's not. And they reinsert themselves, and the faith community embraces them once again. I mean, am I right or wrong?
That is correct. And that is the true beauty of the program, because we are the faith community. At the same time that we work with CSOSA, we are the faith community. So they can always come back and receive the services and the support just as if they never left. And
mm-hmm.
In some cases, people don't leave because we become their surrogate family, their
right.
second family. So
right.
they come to us and they become members of the faith institutions. Of course, we don't proselytize and
right.
we don't
And
force
I do want
anyone.
To get that point across very clearly that they do not have to belong to the Muslim religion, the Baptist religion, the Catholic religion, the Jewish. They don't
right.
have to. They can just come and be mentored.
That is correct.
Okay,
and
good.
They never have to join a faith institution
right,
at all. But some people do.
Sure.
They choose to. And like I said, they become active members of that congregation. And I like to point out that Luana, at her faith institution covenant, she joined. She is a member of their choir. She sings very
Wonderful.
Beautifully.
Wonderful.
And she'll be modest. She has very wonderful talent in singing. And she's performed at the Kennedy Center. So that's
now,
something.
That's quite a transformation going yeah. from the system to the Kennedy Center, Luana.
Yes. I performed at the Kennedy Center 3 times, as a matter of fact. In 2011. I was still on probation, mind you.
Yeah.
And I performed at the Kennedy Center. We had a celebration of Let Freedom Ring. It was for Martin Luther King's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we performed under the director of Nolan Williams. And we backed up Patti LaBelle. It was a wonderful
wow.
show.
Wow. That's an amazing experience. All right. Well, first of all, thank you so much, both of you, for being on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close. Natasha Freeman, she's a cluster coordinator with Israel Manor Incorporated. She's with Israel Baptist Church in Northeast. Luana Clark used to be under our supervision. She used to be a part of the program. Actually, you still are, right?
Yes.
You still are part of the program, and that's one of the wonderful things about what we do. You're over there at Covenant, and congratulations, Luana, to all
thank
the
you.
Successes that you've had. And And I do want to once again take an opportunity to remind everybody that our big yearly faith-based mentor and mentoring program is going to be at St. Luke's Catholic Church, St. Luke's Church Center, 4923 East Capitol Street, Southeast Washington, D.C., on February 21st. And there's plenty of parking. It is a very large operation. You have hundreds of people from all over the city involved in the mentor and mentoring program that come together to celebrate the success and the challenges of the mentoring program. If you need additional information, go to our website, www.csosa.gov, www.csosa.gov. Thank you for your cards, your letters, for your emails, for your feedback in terms of what we do, and have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.